Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7.
It's good to be able to be back with you this evening. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Many great things are happening at the West Huntsville Church of Christ, and I am so thankful for that. I know yesterday it was a great turnout for the Ladies' Day, and Cindy did an excellent job, I heard, speaking. So many good things happening. I noticed that last week we were down in our attendance a little bit, about 315, but it said we had 301 for Bible classes, and I think that's great. Tim McCrary was telling me today that he's never been to a church where the differential between worship and Bible classes was so small, and that says something about your commitment and love for the Lord, and you need to be commended for that. Eugene Barton of Littleton, Colorado, was driving down the road one day, and he saw where someone had taken trash and they had just thrown it on the highway. Well, he said that most of the trash had scattered and blown off, except one lone plastic cup like this one. He said there it was in the middle of the freeway. He said, matter of fact, it was right between the double yellow lines. He said he watched it for a while. He said all of a sudden a car would come, and he said that car would, the wind would take that cup and it would flip it up and it would roll it on the other side of the yellow line. He said then not too long after that a car would come from the opposite direction. It would take that cup, it would flip it up and roll it on the other side of the other yellow line. He said that every once in a while, he said two cars would come from opposite directions at the same time. He said that cup went up in the air and it would flip. He said it didn't know what to do. It went wild. When I thought about that little story I read, I thought that, you know, some people are like that. When something new comes along, what do? They go off in that direction. But when the winds of that issue begin to die down, then something else will come from a different direction and they will go that way. And then sometimes the current winds come from all sorts of different ways. All sorts of things are happening and ideas and philosophies, and that person doesn't know which way to go. Of course, that you know that after a while some big truck comes and flattens that cup. And that's the end of that person's faith. Listen to me tonight. The Apostle Paul says something in the book of Ephesians that we all need to see and hear. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. He says that we should no longer be children tossed about to and fro, carried by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness, he says, by deceitful scheming. God does not want us to be tossed about like some plastic cup on the freeway. He doesn't want that. What He wants is stability for our lives. And what Paul does for us here tonight in our text is he implies that there's three things that we need to have in our own lives if we hope to gain spiritual stability. And I'm not going to preach a long time tonight, but I want to give these to you. If you have something with which to write, you might want to write them down. But the first thing that we need to do as Christians as he implies here, is that we need to grow up. He said, no longer to be children, the text says. There was a group of tourists, and they were visiting a picturesque village in Europe. And they were visiting the sites, and as they were walking, they came to an older man that was sitting on the fence. And one of the tourists said, hey, he said, tell me, were there any great men born in this village? He said, nope, only babies. I find myself sometimes frustrated as a Christian because I expect outsiders, the worldly people, to act like Christians. Sometimes we are frustrated because we expect new Christian, babes in Christ, the immature, to act like mature Christians. Among new Christians, there are only babies. But you know what? Babies grow in time. They should grow in time. It's the natural thing to do. In fact, if you have a baby and it's not growing, then you know something is wrong, and you take it to the doctor, and what is the first thing that the doctor says? He says, well, is the baby eating right? When a Christian fails to grow, it is reasonable to ask ourselves, what is wrong? The Apostle Paul says that ye no longer be children. You say, Paul, but how is this growth? What does it mean by this growth? What does Christian maturity look like anyway? Well, I like someone has given a list of characteristics that the contrast between how a new Christian might think and how a mature believer thinks and believes. He says, immature faith thinks God wants me to be happy. Mature faith realizes God wants me to be the image of Jesus Christ. Immature faith, I go to church for what I can receive because it makes me feel good. But mature faith realizes I go to church because I am part of the body of Christ and I have a responsibility to honor Him and help build up the body. Immature faith thinks, because I am a Christian, I can expect to be spared all pain and disappointment. The mature faith, sometimes God uses pain and disappointment to refine my character. Immature faith, God will work out everything to my happiness and my satisfaction. But mature faith realizes God will work out everything for the good of His cause and His kingdom and for my ultimate good. Immature faith thinks, the closer I get to God, the more perfect I become. But mature faith realizes the closer I get to God, the more I am aware of my own sinfulness. The mature, how dare anyone, immature says, how dare does anyone point out my faults? But the mature says, I am grateful my faults are exposed, even if it caused me a little short-term embarrassment. People, do we change the way we think as we mature in Christ? Absolutely. I worry about Christians who are not growing. I worry about Christians who have no spiritual appetite or appetite for spiritual things, but they have plenty of love for worldly things. I like what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. He said, like newborn babes, long, he says, for the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow up to salvation. May I suggest to you tonight that there is no drive greater than the hunger of a baby for milk. And that is the picture that Peter paints for us. He says that is the kind of desire that we as Christians ought to have for God's Word to be inside of us. As Christians, we have to mature. God wants us to. Perpetual immaturity is not a pretty sight. It's not healthy. It's a sign that there is some spiritual malnourishment going on. It's like David said in Psalm 1, he talked about, he said, my delight is in the law, and on that law I meditate day and night. He's growing. Well, if we're not going to be whipped around like this plastic cup on a freeway, not only do we need to grow up as Christians, We need to settle down. That's the second point tonight. We need to settle down because our text says, go look at it again. He said, no longer tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. The operative word that I want you to see there is the word stability. Settling down. He says, be constant, not bouncing around. I heard of a man that never finished junior high school. It wasn't because he lacked ability. It wasn't because he lacked the smarts. I mean, he later proved that because he became the CEO of a major, major corporation in this country. But his parents were migrant workers. And as he described it, he says, my first few years of formal education, he said, I went to 19 different schools. He said, I never completed a year without going to two or three different schools. Can you imagine that? You might ask yourself, how can any person grow that way? If you are going to acquire anything that is worthwhile spiritually, you will have to apply yourself and not jump around. So many Christians today want to follow preachers. What this preacher... Oh, well, let me tell you what this preacher said. Well, guess what I read in this book? We are to be in the Word of God. Reminds me about what happened to Paul in Acts chapter 17. Remember, he's in Acts chapter 17 and there verse 21 when he's talking to the Athenian philosophers. The Bible says there that all they wanted to do was sit around and talk about something new or hear something new. And there are Christians that are like that. But if we're grounded in the Word, we're balanced. We're balanced. On the flip side of the coin, there are some people that all they do is they try to find fault. Ever known somebody like that? They want to write you up in some kind of article, some kind of brochure, some kind of booklet. And they think that there's evil under every rock. And I know that they do some good, but the problem is that you look at those people's lives and there's no fruit. There's no conversions. So we want to be balanced. And the way to be balanced, to be focused, is to stay in the Word of God, to be constant, to settle down in the Word of God. There's a book that has just been published by John Mark Hicks and a fellow by the name of Bobby Valentine that I went to school with. And it's called The Kingdom Come, written by Brotherhood Christians. And in that book is all about the fact that this earth will not be destroyed. And you just wait. It's going to do harm in the brotherhood. People are going to take it, read it, and believe it because they're not grounded. They're not settled in the Word of God. Can you imagine trying to raise a tree the way that some people try to grow faithfulness in their Christian life? You plant a seed in the ground and it begins to sprout and you say, oh, well, look, it's sprouting, and you take it up. And you move it across the street and you dig another little hole and you put it back in. And a few days later, it begins to sprout again and you take it up and you move it. That tree will never reach spiritual maturity. It's not going to happen if it survives at all. Neither will anyone reach spiritual maturity unless they settle down in the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. David wrote that. Settle down in the Word. Some people in the Bible Belt, now we don't have this problem so much where we worked in Missouri, but in here I know it's more of a problem, that a lot of people just drift and bounce from church to church. They go here and they go here and they go there. I mean, there's no desire on their part to be rooted. They don't have any intent on being loyal. They just want to bounce. And the funny thing is sometimes you might ask them, you say, hey, you know, why is it that you've been to five different congregations in the last 2 years? And most of the time you'll discover that they don't know. That they're looking for, quote, something. Something that makes them feel good. Something that might make them comfortable. But you know what? who is really hurt is themselves, because they remain shallow people. Remember the cup on the freeway? Well, the Lord doesn't want us to be like that. Remember the cars would pass and the wind would take that cup and push it on the other side of that yellow line? Remember that? Well, the Apostle Paul said there are some winds that can cause us to be like that in our spiritual lives. He says there are winds of, here it is, doctrine. So if we're going to be stable, it's going to take doctrinal stability. Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? If somebody came along with something that was new to you, could you say, hold on a second. You know, that contradicts that scripture and this scripture. I don't think that's right. Or would you be gullible or vulnerable to that false teaching? We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. So we need to grow up. We need to settle down. And the third thing, lastly tonight, we need to wise up. Look what he says. He says, carried by every wind of doctrine. He says, the trickery of men. Then he says, their craftiness and deceitful scheming. Look at those words. The trickery of men, craftiness, deceitful scheming. You know, there's a lot of people who do not believe that there are people that are out there that are willing to mislead people for their own gain and their own use. But they're out there. A little bit of the devil spilled out into the world when two people believed a false prophet. Those two people were Nicholas II and Alexandra of Russia, the emperor and empress back before the communist revolution, by an imposter monk who told people that he had miraculous powers and he deceived them and gained control over their lives for more than a decade. And here's how it happened. You see, this royal family wanted so much to have an heir. And then one day, a little baby boy was born to them. Oh, they loved that baby boy. I mean, had the blue eyes, was very dear to that couple. But then 6 weeks later, doctors discovered that that little baby had hemophilia, a very painful and often fatal blood disease. And that royal couple lived in horror every day, knowing that that little baby boy that they loved so much could die at any moment. Into that tragic situation stepped Gregory, one of the most notoriously evil men of all of Russian history. You might know him better as Rasputin. You see, from time to time, this little baby boy would grow very sick. And they're that royal family, you know. Loved that baby. They could see the pain. They knew the danger. And so they pleaded with the doctors, can't you do anything? Do something for our baby boy. The doctor says, no, there's really nothing else we can do. And through a series of events, the desperate monarch turned to this man by the name of Rasputin, a religious mystic, a self-proclaimed holy man with questionable credentials, also known as the Russian Mad Monk, or the Mad Monk of Russia. Rasputin would often pray for the boy, and the boy would have a marked improvement. I mean, doctors today still say they don't know how he did it. And then each crisis, Rasputin would say, listen, I will pray for your baby boy, and he will get better only if you do as I say. And through those series of crises, he began to get a little more and a little more and a little more control of their lives and of the throne. I mean, this guy had so much power that he could appoint people. He could dismiss people. With the Russian government in total chaos and the people so dissatisfied and their discontent, they murdered the royal family. What we know today is the Bolshevik Revolution. One key Russian leader said this. He said, without Rasputin, there could have been no Lenin. One man caused the fall of an empire. Isn't that something? I think that the ultimate irony of the story of Nicholas and Alexandra is the fact that they were so totally, totally deceived. They thought that which was helping them was actually, in reality, destroying them. And I'm here to tell you today that there is someone a lot more powerful than Rasputin. And what Rasputin was to Russia, Satan is to the church. He wants to destroy the church today. You see, what he does is he too uses people who have own selfish gain and agenda. He really does. He will worm himself in the way into the church and into your life by deceit and by trickery, just like our text says. But you know what Paul said? Paul said later in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 11, he said, "Put on the full armor of God that you may be stand firm of the wiles or schemes of the devil." When we went to do our mission work, our eyes were open to the state of the church outside the Bible Belt. And I'm here to tell you tonight that it's not time to play church. It's not time to have fun and games in exchange for solid spiritual growth. It is time that we be vigilant. It is time that we use wisdom and discernment in the church. Because Satan will do everything he can to get that old culture out there inside the church. That's what he wants. Just like happened in Corinth. Corinth got in the church, and today Corinth is trying to get back into the church. We must be vigilant. We must not let that happen. He's trying to destroy your life, and he's trying to destroy mine. And we dare not let him in. What do we say in conclusion tonight? If you're a new Christian, keep your heart and mind in the Word of God. Come to the Bible classes that are offered here at West Huntsville Church of Christ. They're good classes. When the preacher's preaching, you might take notes. Grow in your knowledge and put that knowledge in practice. And to those of you who are older, what might I say? Well, there's a man that makes his living off of capturing sharks. He will dive down very deep, and he will capture these little baby sharks. He said one of the characteristics of sharks is that when you catch them and put them in confinement, they will grow no larger than the size of their confinement. They will always stay small. And that's the reason where you go in these little pet shops and you go into doctor's offices, they have these little 6-inch sharks. But could that be the reason that we also have some 6-inch Christians? Is that sometimes we limit ourselves by what we can do for the Lord. But don't let your limit just be coming here 3 times a week. You find those people out there. You talk to those neighbors. You be active and try to bring someone to Christ. You want to be able to go to heaven and look around and see other people that you brought there. I mean, my goodness, what is the reason that you're here tonight? Because somebody loved you an awful lot to share the Word of God with you. Let's grow in our Christian faith. I want nothing more than that day when I enter the kingdom of God for the Lord to say, "Welcome, thy good and faithful servant. Well, enter into the joys of the Lord." And I know that's what you want. So what do? We grow up in our maturity. We settle down in our consistency of studying the Word of God. And we wise up to the schemes of the devil. Tonight, if you have a need and you need to respond, if you need to become a Christian, come right now as we stand and as we sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.